If I rule the world.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Queen Series podcast, proudly sponsored by the Black Business and Professionals Association. I am your host, Elena Christine, and I am excited. I am sitting down with a very special guest. She is Jodi-Ann Beckford. She is a commercial lifestyle photographer and also the host and creator of The E Project. Jodi-Ann, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, girl. Oh, my gosh. Y'all, I had to start recording right away. She was dropping gems before I even hit the record button. I'm so excited about this conversation because we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about your history as a photographer, but also the podcast that you had, The E Project, which you're coming back with it. I'm putting it out there on the universe, and I'm saying it on air, so that means that it has to happen.
Yes, I am 100%.
Yeah. So let's just start off with a little intro about yourself. Who are you, Jodi-Ann?
Oh, that's a big question. It's loaded. Whew. Who am I? It's funny because I ask myself this all the time. Wow. This is actually a question I like wake up and I'm like, who am I? Mm. And I would say I'm someone... Like, we all go through a lot of stuff. So I have been through a lot.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that I'm still a happy, like, energetic person. Mm-hmm. I definitely am someone that was... I'm always there for my friends. Like, I'm down. I will fight for you. Not physically, but, like, words. yeah, I'm just very... I just want people to be happy. And I'm always... That's, like, my thing. Always wanting to be there for people and wanting people to be happy. And, like, kind of a people pleaser.
Oh.
Which kind of that... It can be a downside, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm still discovering who exactly I am. But
yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, it's one of those things for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is fair because like we are all on this journey of like self-discovery. I said this multiple times in this podcast, but I think it was RuPaul that was like, he was asked, when do you want to stop learning about yourself? And he was like, I want to learn about myself until the day that I die. Which means that like we are always discovering new things, our likes, our dislikes, you know, our purpose. And it's like just something that is like a continuum, I would say. Yeah. So let's move into your podcast.
Okay.
Let's just start with the podcast, girl.
Okay.
So the E Project. What is the E Project?
So the E Project is something that I created, out of like... a very dark place.
Mm.
So I was going through a really rough time. I was living in Ottawa with family and I just wasn't happy where I was. I love my family, but it just, the dynamics wasn't healthy at that very moment at that time. And I moved to Ottawa. I'm not from Ottawa. But I moved to Ottawa because I just needed to kind of get away from the city and even just where I was growing up, which is Oshawa.
Right.
I need something different. I need a new surrounding. I needed something creative. I didn't even know if I needed something creative. I just needed something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Ottawa to work with my cousin, Thomas, and he has a company called Godspeed Communications.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of just kind of starting up. So he needed an administrative assistant more so an assistant to kind of help with like, hit the whole organization of things that were, because he's just starting up, and he also needed a second photographer. So that's how even the photography started.
Okay.
So I moved there. I was working. I was loving it, starting photography, and this was 2013, sorry. And then I realized, okay, I really love photography. This is really cool. And then I was doing a lot for him, and I wasn't doing any personal projects. Mind you, didn't even know what personal projects were. I was
right.
Like, didn't think I even needed to have my own identity in photography. I just was doing stuff with him and learning, because that was my whole thing. That's why I moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I need something else. Like, I'm super depressed, and my anxiety is just, like, I'm always getting overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I need another outlet. So one night, I was in my room. I was, like, crying. Like, really, really crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to end my life.
Mm.
And it's not the first time I've had suicidal thoughts, like, since I was a child, actually. Like, other things had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this was, like, probably another, like, really, really bad episode. And I kid you not, I don't know what it was, but I heard a voice, I'm going to say it's God, that was, like, he said the name. I was like, I need something creative. And I heard like the word, the E Project. Like, it was just super random. I was like, I need something. I'm like, God help me. I need something. And then I was like, I don't know what to call it, but I need something. And then that came up. I have no idea why that, how that, but it just did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote it down And then I was like, okay, what would this be? Like, what do I like to do? How can I make this into something? And for me at the time, the E stood for like entrepreneur. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, I meet a lot of other creatives in the city, like in Ottawa. So I was like, okay, I like to talk and I like to like find out what makes other people happy. And I was like, if I find out what makes someone else happy, maybe that'll make me happy. So then I would ask people that I had met in the city, other artists, because I also, the whole point was for me is to highlight other artists in the city, because Ottawa is like that city that doesn't really do a great job at like really celebrating the creatives that are there. Or even when creative events are happening, you don't really always know. It's kind of like when it's happening, it's like what I didn't see any posting about this,
right?
So I met up with a couple of people that I had met, and then I asked them, do you mind if I like take your photo, a portrait, and then ask you a few questions of like about why you're doing what you're doing and like why do you love it, just whatever. And they're like, you want to ask me, like interview me? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, it's an interview.
Yeah.
And they're like, me? And I'm like, and it made me feel like, why would they devalue like what they do? And then I was like, it made me like a light bulb for me, like this is what I do. When I devalue myself all the time. So I was like, no, like I want you to feel special. So I was like, this is why, like I just want to know, like it's, I think it's inspiring, you're amazing. And they're like, I have like 200 followers. I'm like, I don't care. So it was a blog. So the E Project was a blog. I had questions and answers, kind of like Meg, you know, interview style.
Right, right.
And then I was doing that and I was really loving it. And so that's how it was birthed. It was just a blog. And then kind of fast forward when I moved back to Oshawa,
right,
in 2015, because I was only in Ottawa for 2 years. I did it for another year and a half in Oshawa. And then I was like, I feel like I would need more. Like, I want to see how I can reach people more. And a friend suggested audio. So then that's how the podcast came about. And wow. I had just been listening to podcasts. So then I went from a blog to not a podcast. In 2017, it launched as a podcast.
Yeah. And you noted that you've been doing it for 2 years. I think
Yeah. So yeah. 2 years as a podcast. And then I guess, 4 years in total overall project.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about something that you mentioned that really hit me. And it's this idea of wanting to make other people happy and then in turn trying to make yourself happy. So first going outward and then using that to go inward with happiness. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
So I felt like it was like a healing thing for me, because majority of my life have not been happy, and I didn't really know what that meant. I was like, I didn't even know that I was depressed. I just knew I was always unhappy, always had thoughts of like not being on this planet, always asking myself like, why am I here? Even growing up in the church, like I never had a huge strong connection with God, but I just went to church because I was told to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still, they're like, oh, you'll know why you're here. Like, you know, purpose. Always heard that word. I never understood it. So I figured making people happy, it's like being a people pleaser. It gives me like an adrenaline, like almost like that. What do you call that? Is it adrenaline?
I think it would be
dopamine.
Satisfaction.
Dopamine, sort of like that feeling.
Endorphins.
There you go. Yeah. So I was like, I liked that feeling of like when someone, if I did something and someone smiled, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I had like a role in doing that. So I just kept doing that. And again, the E Project was like that for me. When I would ask them questions and then I would show them the whole layout when it was done, they were happy with it. I was like, wow, like it was like a high for me.
Yeah.
And it inspired me even like reading. I'm like, wow, you guys are so amazing. And then even if they would say in turn, say you're amazing too, I'm like, no, I'm not. You're amazing because I'm you're inspiring me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never looked at what I was doing was amazing. Or even now, I'm like, this is about them. I'm not in any of the pictures. I don't even want to do a full video podcast. I'm like, this is not about me. This is about highlighting people and the amazing accomplishments that they are doing and their progress and their journey.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to work on them. But it's healing me because I'm getting inspired by what they do. Mm-hmm. But I don't give myself the recognition, I guess, of like that I'm amazing too.
Mm-hmm.
But because if people say it, I'm like, I'm okay.
I have a question.
It's very weird.
I have a question and I know it's going to get heavy real quick. We're 10 minutes in, but do you think that you deserve happiness?
Oh gosh. That's okay. Looking in the outside in, because if I was looking at like someone else that was me but I wasn't me. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I'd be like, yes, everyone deserves happiness. Like, no one deserves to feel like shit. No one deserves to wake up feeling like they're a waste of skin. Mm-hmm. So, like, going back to the question for me, I don't know.
You don't know
if you deserve happiness. I feel like, okay, God wants me to be happy. Like, you want to be happy. But I'm like, do I deserve it? I'm like, what have I done to deserve it? I'm like, that's why I'm like, okay,
you were created. That's why you deserve happiness.
Okay, that's a good point. I was created 100%. And it sounds so bad because
it doesn't sound
so many people have gone through so much worse than me. And I'm like,
no, but that doesn't discount the things that you've been through. So sometimes when we go through like things that are really heavy or really sad, we tend to have that perspective. Like, I shouldn't feel like this because whoever has gone through way worse. But the reality of the situation is that we all deserve, right? And and our feelings of sadness, especially depression and things like that, are valid. They're valid. They are. And it's not like, you know, it's because I find that I've also been through like really traumatic stuff in my life. And I find that I went through a period also where I questioned a lot of like, why am I here? Why was I used to ask myself questions like, why am I born into this specific family, right? Mm. Like, the source of a lot of the trauma that I've been through. I would be much better off if I was like in someone else's family, or so I wanted to like be something else. But then I started to realize that like really where the power came from is the realization that I do deserve to be happy. And it is a process. It's a journey, right? But I just think about this, the concept of like trying to see other people happy and then trying to take that happiness like as satisfaction. And it's a journey. But like the thing is that the only source of happiness that I have realized now that comes from, if it's going to come from anywhere, it comes from me. Hmm. And it only comes from me because God, the universe, wants me to be happy. So because I was created in that image, if we're going to go like biblical, that image of God, that just absolute, that the universe wants you to be happy because you were created to be loved and to be happy.
It's so interesting you're saying that. Like, I totally agree with everything you're mm-hmm. saying. Like, it makes sense, right? Yeah. And like, but when you ask me that question, I'm like, my automatic instinct is to be negative towards myself and be like, no, you don't deserve to be happy. But I know deep down I do deserve to be happy, but it's hard for me to voice it. I don't know why, but it's always hard for me to be like, am I like, do I do enough? Am I good enough? Like, it's almost like you're, like you said, God created you and like in his likeness, all those things. But it's like, I'm so negative about myself. It's like, do I even deserve to be happy if I can't even appreciate and be grateful for that, the fact that he created me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's selfish. Like, that's ungrateful. Sorry.
So have you ever sat with these, like, this idea of, like, the source of where this stems from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I thought about it, and I'm like, I've been my own therapist for a long time. I'm like, I need to outsource. So, like, it's like, I'm looking through, I'm talking to myself, I'm like, that's where it starts, where it ends. Like, you need to heal from that. A lot of it starts from when I was a child.
Yeah.
So I was sexually abused by a couple cousins, actually, not more than one. And, or more than one, sorry. And they were both female. Mm-hmm. So anyone that ever had that encounter, they were female. It was never a male. Mm. Well, that wasn't family. I had a male experience, but it wasn't family. And that kind of really messed me up. And I was like, I felt guilty for a very long time when that happened because I was very young. The first time I was like six. And I didn't know it was wrong. Mm. And I always look back, I'm like, how could you not know that was wrong? It's like, I did it and like whatever they asked me to do. Mm. And I didn't know that it was wrong. I thought this is what you're supposed to do. Mm. I thought it was like playing in a sense. So because of that, I mean, I was so young, so that person has a sibling. I did it with them, not knowing, like, I tried to, because I didn't know that I thought this was, like, what you do. Mm-hmm. Even though it was, like, your gut feeling tells you it's wrong, but you're, like, but they love me. So it's, like, maybe this is how you're supposed to play, and, like, their siblings. Tried it with them. They freaked out, told their parents. then I'm now the bad one. And like, that's, I'm the cousin. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like a cycle. And I was, and I never did again. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, at that point, I knew it was wrong at that very point. So then when it happened again with a different cousin, I was a little bit older. I was like probably 10 now. It happened again. And they were older. They were 16, 17. And they did it to me, something else, but still bad. I still went along with it because I was like, wait, I thought this was bad, but now this person's doing it. Is it not bad? So it messed my whole thinking of like, what is, what are you are supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do? Like, I didn't know the difference.
Right.
And because like, I thought when you love somebody, I didn't know the difference between like a man and a woman and a, like, I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like that whole sexual thing. I didn't know because I'd see my parents do stuff. Like kissing or whatever, and I walked in on them once, super traumatic. But then I'm like, oh, so when you love somebody, you do this. But I didn't, I never connected to women. Like, I didn't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand.
So it really messed up my whole mindset of like sexuality and like,
and love also.
And love because too.
Because what does love look like?
I didn't, I'm like, love is like, okay, someone just taking from me and I'm like, saying, I'm okay with it. And I didn't know that. I thought, so my whole idea was love as a very young child was, again, because your parents do your, shut up and be quiet. You do your, do what you're told, do what your elders tell you to do. And all these people are always older than me. So I was supposed to just follow what they do and say and not say anything. So if someone, I was that kid, if you said to me, if you could like, do the worst thing to me. And if you said to me, don't say anything because you'll get in trouble. Like, I would not, because I'm like, I don't want to disappoint you, even though you're hurting me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my whole idea of sexuality was so messed up. It made me question my sexuality. Like, are you supposed to like girls? But I don't like girls. So it messed me up because, like, I've always had crushes on boys all throughout my life. Never thought about having a crush on a girl. Like, never. But then I was like, am I supposed to like girls because this happened with girls when I was younger? And then like, I just didn't know, but I was like, but I don't, I'm not attracted to girls. So it really messed me up. And then I became a huge tomboy. And then just, it was, yeah, it's been a whole thing.
So in that trauma, like in your experiences with that, where does happiness or people pleasing come in?
It comes in, I guess, from as a kid, like just people pleasing them because that's what you're supposed to do. And like in the West Indian culture, children don't have opinions. I know I can have an opinion until high school when my teacher asked me, like, I was like, what? I was like, I can have a thought.
Yeah.
I honestly did not know. A kid in elementary school, no opinion. Like I had no idea. So, and my whole education system is messed up. Like I was put in special classes because I was told I has special needs, so I had no like maybe autism, maybe they didn't know what they thought. I was special because I was not always super focused. I was kind of hyper. Yeah, that's a whole other thing, but like my whole education system is messed up, so like I didn't like start learning to like my like 20s because I didn't know a lot. Because I missed a lot of school, and I went to school, but I wasn't taught, like, they just didn't care. Because I grew up in a predominantly white area back then in, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like, oh, she's slow. So, it just was, like, very basic learning. So, like, a lot of things I know even now, I'm like, it's weird. God's, like, letting me absorb a lot. And I, like, but a lot of my understandings, like, if I mess up and I say something, oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh, well, it's okay to cry.
I totally was going to cry.
I know.
And if I mess up and I say something wrong,
yeah,
I get so hard at myself because I was so, like, everyone said I was dumb when I was young. So, like, now if I, like, stutter or if I say a wrong word, I get so hard at myself because I'm like, then I believe it again, like, that I'm stupid. Sorry.
Girl. My lashes. Dang. Wow.
And it's weird because people ask me, like, what university did you go to? And that always trips me up. I'm like, I took ECE, early childhood education, because my teachers told me that's all I should apply for because I'll be better off just working in daycare. And I was like, okay. So that's all I took. So I never went to university, didn't go for English. Like, none of the stuff I actually liked. I love English. I like stuff like that, reading and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, never did any of that stuff. Didn't even try. So now being 31, I'm like, I don't have a college degree.
But that's okay because you're amazing. Like, you don't have to have a college degree to be an incredible person, Jodi Ann. That doesn't define you as a person, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. So I just wanted to tell you that before we move forward. Girl.
Sorry.
My lashes, girl. And so wow, this has been like there's a lot of it's very complex. Like, it's very, and it seems as though the darkness that has happened has kind of like not defined you in a way, but it has created it created an image of yourself that you didn't get to create for yourself. You know what I mean? So your experiences have kind of, they didn't shape you, but they shaped the way you thought of you.
And that's why I don't know who I am.
And that's why you don't know who you
and
are.
And I feel like that's why I don't know, should I be happy? Like, I don't even, like, I'm so many different people. Like, I have so many different sides of myself. And I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, what side is actually me. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole, especially the people-pleasing part. Because people are like, oh, you're so nice. And some people are like, oh, you're too nice. And I'm like, and that always trips me up. Because I'm like, what is being too nice? Like, I would say I am naive. I get that sometimes. But I'm like, being a good person or being, I hate the word too nice. Because I'm like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just be a good human being. No one's perfect. You're going to make mistakes and, like, mess up and people are going to be mad at you. Mm-hmm. But I hate that phrase of, like, you're too nice. Like, you need to be more, like, have more of a backbone and be, like, you know, because for business or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get that. But it's, like, I know what it feels like to be, like, because I was really bullied a lot when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, because of the whole education thing and, like, being in special classes. So being bullied affected me, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. And even the bullies... The joke is, I actually still wanted to be friends with the bullies.
Why?
Because I was like, if I get them to like me, they'll stop bullying me. Mm. But obviously it didn't work. And like, even if they're being racist, they call me the N-word, they'd spit in my face, like all these different things. And I would still go back to try to be friends and people please. Because I was like, why? What's wrong with me? Like, why does no one like me? Mm. Like, I didn't start having friends till like my mid-20s. Like, early to mid-20s. Like, high school didn't really have... I had one friend was kind of toxic. But, like, say true, like, I've got your back friends, didn't know what that was. So even now when I get those people, like, I don't know how to receive. That's a lot of times I don't know how to receive love or friendships because I'm like, I know how to give it.
Right.
Because I'm like, I feel like I'm a good friend, but I'm like, receiving it is so hard. And, like, my best friend, Alicia, she's like... When I met her, and I met her in, like, my early 20s, I was, like, it made me, like, I didn't know how to take it. I was, like, because she was just such a good person and, like, genuine. I was, like, I don't know what this is. Like you're using me because I've had friends where, like, that would just use me or I thought they were my friends. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't know. I don't know how. So receiving love is very a new concept. Like, it's still new to me. It's hard.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to that. And because it's like when I always question people's intentions about like whether or not, well, I used to because now I'm more conscious of it and I'm allowing myself to be open because I do, like I've told myself that I do receive love or I do deserve love and I accept love into my heart. And it's like, but it's really difficult to get there because you don't know. You don't know. And it's always like that, like, it's always that what if they don't turn out to be a good person, then what does that do to you? Like, that further traumatizes you. So it's almost like a protection mechanism where you're just like, okay, I'm going to shelter myself off, or I'm just going to give and not receive because I don't know whether or not this person means well.
And then people think you're being disgenuine. Like, a lot of happy, like the whole too nice thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, I didn't even know you were really this night. You were this person because, like, after really getting to know me and, like, over the years, mm-hmm. like, you're consistently a good person. I'm like, okay, like, thank you. But because they've also had bad experiences,
yes,
they're
exactly.
not used to someone being like, if I refer someone to someone, I'm not going to not tell you about something or refer, especially in the whole Toronto culture of, like, say like, oh, I know a studio that has this, or I know whatever, like just sharing knowledge, information, or connecting people because I just met someone, I think mm-hmm. that would be really great for that person. I guess, I don't know if that's not a common culture in Toronto, mm-hmm. but like I do that a lot, and I've had people be like, I did, like, why do you do that? And wow. It's always so strange to me because I'm like, why wouldn't you do that? Right. Like, why would you withhold information? That, what is that doing for you? That's not doing exactly. anything. Just share. Like, that, it blows my mind. Or, like, I've had people, like, find out after they've not told me something, or they, I don't know. They just, they're like, I didn't realize you were actually, this is really you. This is just you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get it though. Cause like people have been hurt and they have a block, just like I have a block in right. a sense too.
So how, if you were to sum up yourself in like three words, what would it be?
Myself. Wow. Okay. The first one that popped in my head was vulnerable, mm-hmm. super vulnerable, emotional. Cause I cried.
So which is okay. Wrong. Yeah.
But I want to say, the other word would be, so I guess vulnerable, emotional, and I can't think of the word, but it's like when you, optimistic. Yeah. Cause yeah. I'm always thinking the best of somebody mm-hmm. else. And I get burned a lot. I actually mm-hmm. learned a very good lesson from my brother not too long ago, like a couple days ago. And he's like, you need to stop living in this la la land. He's like, there are bad people in this world. Like, you have to keep your eyes open. He's like, because you grew up in North America, you come to Jamaica. Because you know what I mean? Like, not be yeah. so naive. I definitely am naive in certain instances. So I'm learning to still be optimistic, still be good, but still open my eyes up a bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, some people just aren't who they say they are. And, mm-hmm. like, not because it devastates me when, like, someone is false mm. to me, and I'm like, or even thinks something false of me by not even, like, you know what I mean, just by assuming something and not really following up and trying to find out more. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning, yeah. So I guess optimistic, vulnerable, emotional. And emotional,
yeah,
but not bad emotional. Like, no. I'm like, it's good and bad. Like, emotional has two sides.
Well, emotional is, I think emotions are almost a superpower. All right, so three more things.
That I wish I would be.
No, that you are. That I'm. How you would you define yourself?
Helpful. bubbly, mm-hmm. and loving.
Yeah.
Cause I love a lot.
Yeah.
I love hard.
Oh, see, so that's the thing. So you just named six things about yourself. And these definitions of who you are didn't come from anybody but you. And it just goes to show that, like, the power of us to say who we are is on us. So although people might say you're naive or you're too nice or you're this and you're that and da 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 da, the only thing that matters is what you define yourself as and literally nothing else. And if you can, like, think in terms of that, like, even when people try to say that who you are as a person or define you, you just hold on to the six, the nine, the 20 things that you genuinely know yourself to be. And that's all that matters. Okay. That's all that matters, girl. Because I find that, and it's, again, it's a journey. And it's the path of, like, self-discovery. That's the journey and the path that we're on. And like we mentioned earlier, it's like this idea that we are always figuring out who we are. And it's always just like, am I this? No, that can't be right. Am I this? Well, this person said that I'm this, but I don't really feel that. Or when somebody calls you something and it evokes a negative reaction and it makes you tense or it makes you feel a way, then that's a good indication that that thing that that person called you is not what you are.
Mm. Okay.
Because if it was, then you'd be like, yeah, I receive it. But just like you smiled when you said that you were bubbly, that is who you are, right? That's who you are. Not whatever somebody else called you. That's the biggest difference. So if we can see ourselves and if we can smile when we say things about ourselves, or if we can think about ourselves in ways and or how we affect others, but not just to please others, but the way that we think about ourselves is like, cool. And then the question of, do I deserve happiness? Yes, because I'm a vulnerable person, I'm an emotional person, I'm a bubbly person, I'm a loving person, I'm all of these things. That's why I deserve happiness.
Okay.
You feel that?
I do, damn.
and it's all just like, it's all just, and they're all, they're gonna be things that you as you grow and as you learn and as you meet people and as you have these conversations, mm-hmm. you're going to discover more and more and more and more and more. More and more and more and more and more. But there's something that you mentioned about like sexuality in general, like that really was like intriguing to me because yeah. it's this understanding of, and that's another facet of understanding who you are as a person. When something really traumatic happens, it causes like this confusion, this hurt and this pain. Mm-hmm. And then it causes this like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so have you started like a self-discovery journey? If so, what does that look like?
So self-discovery
in terms of like
sexuality?
Well, or... sexuality, but all, in all facets, like just trying to understand who you are more and more as a person.
Okay, so yes, that's actually very, very recent.
Yay.
Like,
talk about it, girl.
A little past couple months, maybe? Because I, like looking in the mirror, I'm just not, I don't like what I see physically. Yeah, physically. That's really good, yeah. So I was like, I can't keep this sort of journey of like keep not liking what I see. And it's almost like it's definitely self-sabotage. I do that all the time. So when I thought I was fat, when I was younger, I was definitely not. Looking back, I was like, you thought that bone was fat? Not that I was like skin and bones, but like I was just like, I was like a good healthy size. And I thought it was so, I had a little belly, but it was nothing. I mean, it was whatever. And then those breakups that I've had and the two breakups that I had were really, really hard. The last one was like brutal. And I think.
And what was that about?
So the first one was brutal. Sorry, not the last one. Mm-hmm. The first one was physically and emotionally abusive. So, like, it was very much domestic, super, like, stereotypical. And the second one was more emotional. Mm-hmm. He was a good guy, but just we just didn't together. It was just, like...
He was a good guy, but he was emotionally abusive.
Emotionally, in the sense of, like, we both were. Like, it was both sides. Like, we both said stuff that were just not, good. I was not mature enough for that relationship. Neither was he. And... he didn't like when I was, because I was gaining weight, he got that happy weight, whatever, because like relationships, but that even stemmed from my first relationship. So the domestic, the abusive, and the physical one, that's the one. I'm gonna cry, stop crying. So
it's okay to cry.
So I had an abortion when I was 18-19 years old, and that was through my first relationship, and I didn't want that abortion. I wanted to keep the baby. It wasn't by choice. He threatened me and told me basically you'd kill me if I didn't have the abortion. And it was bad. And I was pretty far along. Like I was 13 weeks. So it was like just me cutting off 13 weeks and like 6-7 days or whatever. And I had the ultrasound and everything when I went to the abortion clinic. And the lady, it's crazy because the lady that was talking to me was like an older lady. And I swear, I'm like, to this day, I'm like, is this an angel? I don't know. But she was like telling me like the risks. And she's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, I have no choice. My parents will abandon me. So that's what I thought. I can't be that stereotype. I'm black. Like, I can't. And my boyfriend, because we were still together because I thought he loved me. Like he just doesn't want the baby. Like he will not. Like I'll be by myself. He told me like I'm trash. He like told me all these different things. Like, and so I had the abortion, and I didn't realize that like my whole body issues, especially with like the weight gain and everything, stems from my abortion. And I think because I didn't have the baby. And, like, I had a little belly, but not really. Like, it was growing, but it, you know what I mean? So, I think me gaining weight over the years, subconsciously, I've always, like, kept my stomach to have the feeling of, like, fullness. Yeah. And I didn't realize that until almost recently, maybe. And I was, like, every time I look in the mirror and I'd be, like, I look pregnant. And I'm like, my stomach is so big. And then I finally, I don't know how, but like I associated with like the loss of the baby. And I was like, because I would like push my stomach out, but like then I would like, I don't have to push my stomach out anymore. It's just out. And I'm like, oh, I look pregnant. So it's like the memory of like being pregnant. And I'm like, that's why I'm fat. Because I'm like, I have the guilt of having the abortion. Mm. I'm like, maybe if I stay fat, then I won't, like, lose the memory of the baby. Wow. So that's what I discovered recently. And I'm like, okay, it's not, that's not healthy because you're going to keep getting fat. And I'm like, I need to lose weight. So, like, now that I've discovered that part of it, I'm like, okay, I need to, like, I really need to get counseling because I can't keep going through life, like, forcing myself to have a belly because I feel guilty for giving up
the baby. There, that's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of, like, unresolved, like, traumas and things that are still very much present. And you know, I think that, oh my God, that just breaks my heart. Like, first of all, like, I really thank you for sharing that because that's not an easy thing to share. And it's also like, oh man, like, I don't have any words like that.
I didn't think I was going to say that, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, like that, and it's weird association. Like,
well, it's not weird. It's not weird. Like, none of this is weird. I think all of it happens. You know what I mean? And it's like, when you think about the things that you've been through and you try to, like, work through them and process them, sometimes you do things like that. Like, sometimes that happens. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing bad. It's not, you know, but I think that it's super important to, I'm so happy that you came to that realization because now you're like, okay, I can take the appropriate steps to address some of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And to release. So it's not necessarily just like the weight, it's like more of the psyche behind it and the reasoning behind it. So once you address that, then everything else inadvertently will also be affected as well for the better. So your relationships with people have been, like, strained, right? And full of just, like, uncertainty and just, like, you don't know.
Yeah.
And so as you try to, like, navigate this space and just try to become, you're learning more and more and more about relationships and about things.
100%.
Yeah. Which is, like, me too, girl. I'm right there with you. Yeah, you know,
humans are interesting.
So interesting.
We're so interesting. I was like, yo, I don't even, the things that we do subconsciously, it's crazy. And when you realize you're doing it, you're like, what are you doing? So
coming to that realization that, you know, some of the things that you're doing might not be conducive to the happiness that you deserve too, right? So one of the biggest things I would take from this episode is, like, ask yourself, like, Do I deserve happiness? And what does happiness look like for me? What does love look like for me? What does a life I deserve look like for me as well? You know what I mean? Like, and on the E Project, these are some of the topics that you talk about. So I highly encourage everyone to go back and listen to all 60 episodes of the E Project before Jodi Yang comes back and shares a lot about herself. And it's just so incredible that you opened up to, I really feel grateful for you for opening up to me and telling me this because I feel full. I feel like my heart is, and it's for you to trust me to let me in like that is really incredible. So I thank you so, 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 so much. And if you had to ask me if you deserve love, I would say yes. And if I had to describe you in 5 words, based on just knowing you, is that you're incredibly compassionate. You're super empathetic. You're beautiful inside and out. You're a brilliant mind. And I love you.
Oh my God. I cried this whole episode.
Now I'm crying. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, thank you.
That's it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So. Jodi Yang, thank you so much for sharing. And I could go on and on and on, but my lashes won't allow it.
Oh, God.
So we've reached the end, and I wanted to ask you if there's anything that you would like to promote.
Wow, okay. I'd like to promote a podcast, The E Project, actually, which now the E I've never put like what it means. Yeah. People just assume entrepreneur because, hey, I do entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And that really matters to me, especially Black entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other conversation too. Like,
yeah.
But it's now the Epiphany Project. So the E stands for Epiphany because my epiphany moment of when I realized, okay, what I wanted to do and why I wanted to do this. So I had like a light bulb moment. So now the E is Epiphany. So you'll be seeing Epiphany more often now.
Amazing.
So, and the E Project podcast is on, oh, no, sorry. It's on Spotify. I said Shopify.
Better put some merch up there.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So on Spotify, iTunes, literally wherever you can find podcasts, I'm on there. Mm-hmm. Stream it, please.
There you go.
And my photography website, Instagram. So
yeah, what is it?
It's jodianne.beckford. And then my Instagram for my podcast is the.e.project.
Awesome. And you know what? I would love to be a guest on the E Project if 100%. I am so fortunate. And 100%. I would love for you to come back on the Queen series because we need an update on this journey, sis. We need to know what part two, like we, and you know what? This is just amazing. Like, it's an amazing entry point because there are a lot of people that needed to hear this, that they're not alone, that we go through things. And not everybody that comes on here knows all of the answers. We don't have it figured out. Mm. So it's the process of figuring it out amongst each other. So thank you so much, Jodianne, for coming on the Queen Series podcast.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, girl.
I want to promote one more thing.
Promote!
I just started it, but it means so much to me, and it's something that I'm going to be growing, and I can talk about more later on.
Awesome.
But I have a new Instagram called Noir Girls Plant, and it's the catalyst is planting and gardening because I'm learning and healing and learning so much about myself, but there's so much more to it. It's about mental health, wellness, and just a community of people coming together and the importance and how plants actually are more connected to us than we think and our lives, business, everything. Just, there's just so much.
I love that.
There's so much to it. Oh. So I want to say more, but I've just go check out the Instagram and you'll see all the updates.
Oh yes. And and the Instagram one more time,
At Noir Girls Plant. So NOIR girls with an S plant.
Oh, amazing. Yes. So if you like this episode of the Queen Series podcast, please like, rate, and subscribe. Also, share it to your friends. And I want to leave you with this. Queens run the world. Bye.
Jodianne! Are my edges so
stop!
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.